I'll call the meeting to order. I think we have to. I don't know. Because yes. I don't think we have a quorum. But good morning. This is the Legislative Energy Commission, Monday, January 5th. And we have a special guest from Germany. So we have an informal meeting this morning. Please feel free, everyone, when we get to the discussion point, for everybody to be a part of the discussion, whether you're here as an observer or a member. We're really delighted that Dr. Lehmann could be here from Germany, and I would like for you to go ahead and do your introduction, because I think I wouldn't probably do it as well as you can do it yourself.
Okay, thank you. My name is Harry Lehmann, and Happy New Year to everyone. And I'm a physicist and working in the environmental field since the midst of the 80s. Today I'm head of the Department for Environmental Planning and Sustainable Futures of the Federal Environmental Agency. The Federal Environmental Agency is Germany's central environment agency. We had 40 years last year. We support scientific the federal government, but also policy, parliaments, governments of cities, parties, and someone else. We have also the as a tax, the execution of environmental laws like emission trading or certificates of chemicals. And we have by law to inform the public on environmental protection issues. So it's our job. We are a scientific agency. That means we also are part of the science system in Germany. We are they check us every 2 years, 3 years, if we are really doing those things very well scientifically. We ourselves, our own definition is we are a scientific advisory board of German society and government. So, Energiewende, where are we today? So it's 10 minutes and then a lot of questions probably we can discuss. At the moment, this is 2011, the Energiewende is still running. There is no problem, we are not stopping it, we are not doing any. We are learning from errors and readjusting the Energiewende. In 2011, we had, it's the last statistically data we have, but our internal information show that in 2014, because we make the statistics, renewables had a share of 27.3, and renewables are increasing, efficiency is also increasing, and Energiewende is still a major part of German's policy at the moment. Energiewende is for us three pillars. The first one is economic efficiency. So we try to find a way into a complete greenhouse gas neutral Germany in 2050, which is economical efficient, not the cheapest. Efficiency means different to choosing the cheapest solution. If you buy a refrigerator which is cheap and is after 2 years down, then it was a cheap solution but not the efficient solution. If you would have bought a refrigerator which lasts 7 years and is only 10% more expensive, then you have a more efficient solution. That's our definition of efficiency, and we look over the economic efficiency for the society of Germany and for certain sectors until 2050. Then we have environmental compatibility, means that we have not only to solve the climate problem, we also have to solve the problem with water, soil, all these other things. And last but not least, security of supply, which is probably not only the reliability of the electrical grid, it's also the we are dependent from imports, and this security of supply is on the one side the electricity supply, but on the other side we are relying on 70% of imports, and this is also part of our argumentation why we make the Energiewende. This is the share at the moment, and being in a situation having hard negotiations with Russia about the future gas, this is also a reason why we are arguing. And then you are talking again different about economic efficiency, by the way. If you are in a situation being dependent on someone else, then it's also a part of policy of security, of geostrategic positioning yourself if you are less relying on imports. We know that renewables create new jobs than conventional fuels. This is the green one is the amount of jobs in 2011 in Germany. This one, I have a bet. New, due to changes in the laws, we lost about 30,000 in 2013. It's not yet official, but due to these whole the old political discussions about if or not how we should continue with Energiewende and the cheap photovoltaic price of the Chinese industry, we lost in Germany about 30,000 jobs. We will have to find strategies to get back on that track. The solution or the success story is clearly wind turbines are to name 40 times powerful as 20 years ago. Prices for solar system has decreased by 60% since 2006 worldwide. In Germany, wind and PV are cheaper than other decarbonization options, nuclear and CCS. This is German prices of nuclear, new nuclear, if you take CCS, wind offshore PV and wind onshore. So it's at the moment also due to the economical development cheaper than these others. And so we have four pillars of German Energiewende. That means we are looking into a CO2 neutral society economy by 2050. We will phase out all nuclears by 2022. We will increase renewable energies and increase energy efficiency. And this is the tableau of that, how we think we can do that. These are the greenhouse gas reductions, 40% until 2020. I will come back at the end of my 10 minutes on that. These steps in 80 is consensus with all parties. 95 is consensus with all scientists, because if we think we have want to cope with the 2-degree goal, which is the United Nations goal, then we have to go down in Europe by 95%. So renewable energies will be in 2020, 35%, and 2030, 50%. Primary energy we want to lower by 50% until this means energy efficiency, and the energy productivity we want to increase by 2.1, and modernizing buildings, double rate. This is not happening. It's the worst part of our plan. It's not really working. Also, the transport sector is really problems. Electricity system is working better. The share of renewables in Germany, electricity generation, and the future targets. We are now in 2013 at 27. It's 2012, so it's continuing to grow. This is done due to several laws in the renewables, feed-in tariff, four laws starting in the year 2000 and last one in 2012. And in the last year, 2014, we also had a new feed-in tariff law, which we are still monitoring. We don't know if it will, or if that, what policy is thinking, what they have changed to the feed-in tariff leads to the goals they have set. At the moment, we have, I always say, stall. You know, if you are a pilot, you can climb and you can go down, but you have also the stall, so that you go on the same level, but you are in a not very stable situation. I would say the introduction of renewables in Germany is a little bit in a stall situation at the moment. Other countries in Europe are a little bit faster at the moment. So, okay. This is what we have, so I will shorten down. Something which is important at the moment is we are studying chemical storage for power coming from renewables. Last year, most of you will know that Audi in Niedersachsen, Dresden is the first power-to-liquid kerosene plant starting at the moment, because we think that might be from the point of reliability of the system, also of supply of the system, a good solution. But it is also a possibility for us to export technologies, knowledge, that's what we are living off. So the fossil fuels
still have a future. We are talking about 80 to 95% until 2050. Then they will have a future. The problem is only that they don't have that future. Some of the people in that market are thinking that. At the moment, fossil fuel plants are not bringing back that money that people are expecting for different reasons. There are also assets which probably in 2030, 40 cannot be used more, not only because of German policy, because there's an emission trading system on a European level which lowers the emission allowance for your whole Europe year by year. So year for year, you have less allowances. And you can calculate if you have a coal plant or you have a lignite plant, when is the situation not that the allowances are too expensive, but they are not enough for them that I can stay on the market. This emission trading system was installed in the 90s, so no one can claim today he hasn't known under what conditions he have invested. So it's known. And this is at the moment we have the situation that the big utilities are making so-called bad banks. They're putting all nucleares and all coal plants into a new company and selling them out. I don't know who will buy this, but they are trying at the moment to sell off nucleares and coal and lignite plants. So I have 10, okay, let me give 5 minutes more. More conclusions. Germany is not relying on electricity imports. A lot of people are running around and saying that we are importing. Not true. We are still exporting. And these are the export numbers of the last years, 2013, 2014, continued. The reason that we are exporting is that we have still the nucleares running, we have the coal and lignites running, and we have the renewables growing. And it is very easy that more and more cheap electricity is on the market, and which is exported to other countries, especially neighbor countries. We have discussions with the Polish and the Netherlands and the Denmark that they don't like to have it, but it's a liberalized market. If someone buys the electricity in Poland or someone in Germany, you can't forbid that. So it's a problem that we have so much on the market, but I don't see that as a problem. Some people see that as a problem. I don't see that. Okay, they gain money with that, and that's okay. The next thing is the prices for electricity have not been rising, but are falling steadily. This is the year 2008, and it's continuous, 2013, 2014. What is the reason for that? Same as I've told you. We have old coal plants, nuclear plants, where the people are happy to sell for every price, as long as they can sell it. We have renewables coming more and more into the market, and the result on the market is that the prices are falling. It's simply economy. If you have too much apples, then the price of apples fall down, even if the apples are green and not brown or whatever color. Okay? This is something which is also true for the prices for electricity for big utilities, etc. This is the growth of the gross national product in Germany since 1991, and this is the growth of the renewables. I don't use that to argue that this is connected, but it hasn't harmed our growth. My argument, and some of the economists say that it was part of the growth, because 350,000 new jobs in Germany, exporting technologies. We are, these 27% of electricity, which we don't produce from coal and oil and gas, we keep in our own country, and the people in our own country earn money with that. So from our point of view, but we can prove it very well at the moment, because it's very hard to make sort of so macroeconomic studies on very detailed. Our argument is at the moment that all data are showing that the Energiewende in the last 15 years, Energiewende is 30 years old, Energiewende in the last 15 years, even if the prices for some sectors increased or for some persons increased, for the society or the economy of Germany were positively. Also, if you relate it to energy efficiency, the industry, production industry, the energy efficiency for certain industry in Germany is higher than other sectors. And if you ask the people, why are you higher than, for example, the France people, the France say, why should I invest? I get electricity very cheap, and why should I put money into better machines? And that's also a part why the idea German technology is the better technology is also the question of energy efficiency, resource efficiency, and reliability. So, to get it together, Energiewende is ensures climate protection aims, it creates jobs, it leads to sustainable growth with national added value. And we see it as a chance to pioneer and advance on the path. But we are, as an agency, monitoring the Energiewende, and we know that at the moment we are stalling. We have calculated with our models that probably we will not reach the goal of 40% in 2020, which Germany committed to go there. The idea is our models show at the moment that Germany will go to 33 to 35%. At the moment, the German government is making together with the agencies and the others a so-called climate action plan. This climate action plan is published now in December, the 9th of December, early enough before Lima, and will be discussed until July with stakeholders and which sector takes over what part, transport sector, housing sector, etc., etc., agriculture. The idea is that we have a climate action plan on top of that what we have as legislation today in Germany, so that we hope to go. This is the, I don't have it in English because it's very early. This is at the moment our plan for the feed-in tariff. We will have the year 2015 to look into the existing law. We have every 4 years a new law, and 2014 was the one, and 2018 will be the next policy. I think you can do it in 2016. I don't see it until now, to be honest. The problem here is what feed-in tariff should be part of the future energy market. We have the employment trading system, which will be negotiated in 2016. We have the future electricity market design. We will generate in Germany a new rules for electricity market, because the electricity market for fossil fuel and nuclear is not usable for renewables, if you think about reliability, system services, etc. And that. And at the moment, there's a green book published where several stakeholders, interested people are discussing it. I hope that we will have it a draft before the next election, which is in 2017. The reason why this ends here is because 2017 is election year, and everyone hopes to have a different or a better or whatever, or the same government, and so this chart ends there. We will have an efficiency strategy. The problem is building sector, really a problem. We are working on grid enhancement. At the moment, we have the scenarios for 2015. From the scenarios, we will develop grid development, and then there will be a new law about the grid enforcement enhancement in 2016. And we will discuss the distribution nets on the local level. There will be an approach and a planning procedure therefore. And last but not least, that's our monitoring 2015, developed 2014 last year. And now we will have to make the monitoring of 2015 and look if all the policy we decided until then is capable to go until 40% less greenhouse gas emissions in 2020 and 80% less in 2050. We as an agency always say 95%. So, okay? So that's all in very short and very fast. And okay.
Thank you. For the discussion, why don't people just feel like they can feel free to ask questions. I don't need to call on you. I'm going to go try to get him a glass of water since it's so dusty in the Capitol. But Senator Tomasoni.
Okay, Dr. Lehman, welcome, or willkommen, or whatever we say here. When I was over in Germany, you were decommissioning the nuclear plants, and I think you did 8 or 9 out of the 17.
Yeah.
And there was a lawsuit. Did the lawsuit end, or did the industry try and not shut down the plants, or what ended up happening?
At the moment, the utilities which own nuclear plants are using all ways to go against German government. There's a lawsuit in United States under American law, two lawsuits. There are two lawsuits in Germany against German state, etc. My point of view is that they are trying to increment the price. And if you ask me what have we done wrong with our Energiewende, one of the things we made wrong was to stop the first law about a nuclear phase-out. We had a law about nuclear phase-out in 2000. It was very good negotiated. It was a piece of law where no probability was that someone goes against it. Then around Fukushima, Merkel thought that we will not cope our climate change goals. She also had some not published discussions with some utilities, and she sought to prolong the lifetime of the nuclear plants. Then Fukushima happened, and all plants of the Fukushima type were stopped immediately for security reasons. And at that time, there were made some errors, because you can't stop certain technologies without having arguments about that. So the process was full of errors in around Fukushima, because policy had to do things fast, as usual. Yes, we go, and they made a second phase out. And this second phase out is now battled by the utilities. It is to increase the prices. They have a problem, because they promised in the year 90s or something like that to keep money away to decommission the nuclear plants. But part of this money was invested into lignite and coal plants, so that the reserves of decomposition of the nuclear system is owning coal plants, which at the moment are also falling in the price. So the utilities have a problem. They promised to put 30 billion of euro for decommissioning the nuclear plants to the German society, however it ever was done, and at the moment they don't have it. So the best way to try to solve the problem is to go to court, because they get time. We will see how it ends. There are different approaches. The one approach is that we make a bad bank. Means German government takes over all nuclear plants, and as we have done with the waste system. The whole German waste system run by private is crazy. It's marauding. They don't even know what is downstairs in the storage system. There's an agency that we had to found an agency in Germany to make a status about the waste of nuclear waste in Germany, which the private utilities have brought down into the earth. They don't even have lists about what is there. So we are developing now technologies, robots and all that, but you can't enter that, to find out what is downstairs, 2,000 meters. And we suppose there are between 4 and 10,000 different containers with different things, and now we try to find out what it is. And this is taken completely over by German society. It is, we calculate that in the next 10 years we will have something about 20 billion euros we will have to put in to find out what is there and how to deal with that. So at the moment, discussion of a bad bank is a hard thing in Germany, because we had it 2 years ago that we got the bad bank of the waste system of the nuclear plants. So it's The Commission will continue, but it will be a very hard discussion. It's also one of the reasons why Europe is against TTIP, because in the moment you have TTIP, then the German company can go against TTIP. German policy.
The trade policy, new trade agreement.
Yeah.
Trans-Pacific something, yeah. I think.
Trade and investment partnership.
Have I given you all answers?
So the industry is still in the it's still in the lawsuit is still going on. It's still ongoing.
No, E.ON has made a bad bank. E.ON has no more. Vattenfall is also making. All these are going out of nuclear.
Okay.
Also coal. The problem is, what do you do with the company with nuclear? Because it's not more the big utility you had with all these things around it, where you say, okay, they can survive the next 20 years. You make a bad bank, and if they don't have the money more, then you have a company which is has problems to pay the people or something like that, and then society has to enter. At the moment, it's a real unclear situation.
Other questions from members or the audience? Senator Senjum.
Can you speak a little bit, and I'll just give you my vision. You know, with either wind power or solar, it looks like, generally speaking, a fairly no. You know, once they're built, once they're in, it looks like a fairly low maintenance operation. And I think we even see that around here in our windmill areas, especially. But so you know, if that is kind of true, where are all the jobs coming from? Is it in the manufacturing of this stuff, or in the distribution of it?
We have made an analysis on two levels. The first one, if you look at a smaller than 25 kilowatt peak photovoltaic installation, which is a rooftop installation, 25 kilowatt is 25 square meters, no, 250 square meters of photovoltaic. If this type of installation needs certain maintenance, etc. If you look at that,
would that be the rooftop stuff?
Yeah, rooftops, okay. On the rooftops. But if you look at that, in Germany, 30% of the money stays in the region over the whole lifetime of these rooftop installations due to different reasons, installation, maintenance, etc., etc. Also because people which have a rooftop, they gain money off that or they rent it to someone else. Then if it goes bigger, then the regional part gets lower and lower. It's clearly for different reasons. In the windmills, it's different. It depends on the way you run windmills. If you have a company coming from outside installing windmills, on the long term, the region only has money income. First, meaning jobs is an outcome of that. Money income only probably from the renting the areas or something like that, or giving a license. But if it is by corporations of the regions, the money stays in the region. In Germany, there are cities, small cities, which have on their kindergartens plaquettes, this kindergarten is paid by the wind installations outside of the city. So it's a way of showing that money stays in the city. Jobs are on a different level. Clearly, production is a job motor. It's the job motor of renewables. You have a huge amount in front of that. Then you have installation, and then you have maintenance. And every technology, let's say, is 5-3-2-1. So it means that the production has the most jobs, then installation and planning and all these things lower, and then the maintenance the lowest, because it's only a low maintenance. Then that's true. So the story for regions is to be part of the production, and there's no voodoo technology. Windmills can be done. I don't know how the Chinese started it. So it's really, if you can produce airplanes or you can produce cars, then you can also produce windmills. It's nothing new.
Sure.
And it's not only the windmill. There are a lot of parts in it, electronics. Germany is making certain parts for the windmills, ne? So it's only metallurgic, making Schrauben.
Screws.
So Germany is ruling the world market for certain screws for windmills. So that's the way you can earn money, not by supplying parts to windmill producers and others. And same for photovoltaic. Germany is one of the countries which are making electronic chips for PV inverters. So you have to open your mind, not thinking about the end product, about the parts they need, glues and all these things. Like in the automotive industry, you have jobs for VW, Volkswagen, in other parts of the world producing the motors for the opening the doors and all these things. So it's
And for Minnesota, you know, the Department of Employment and Economic Development just did a study on the supply chain issues in renewable energies, the supply chain strengths here in the state. So if people haven't had a chance to read it, I know reading reports is not like our favorite thing to do around here, but it's really very worthwhile in talking about kind of what Dr. Lehman was talking about, where you wouldn't, when you think about wind turbine construction, you first thing you think of wouldn't be screws. Or for photovoltaics, the chip for the inverter box. But we do have some industries in Minnesota that are really strategically very valuable. Other questions?
So, Dr. Lehman, on the primary energy, that's one of the key strategies. And it's, I think, 20% by 2030 and then 50% by 2050. Can you talk about what's being done specifically around primary energy? Because that's not an area where we typically in the state or in the U.S. have goals on primary energy.
And can you just, does that rotate? It doesn't feel like it rotates, but it does. And for folks asking questions, too, try to rotate a microphone in front of you. Thanks.
Yeah, primary energy is clearly the game of energy efficiency. So it starts with making the materials with less energy. It starts off making parts with less energy. Let's take supply chain. Boeing is building airplanes, but one important part is coming from Germany, the part where these engines are hanging on. It's a special titan make part which is done in Notre Dame, Australia. And they have now a new way to do that with 80% less material and 70% less energy. So that's increasing. So it's a strategy of making products different, of making more energy efficient. It's not only for products, it's also the transport sector, it's building sector. It's primary energy is really going across to all sectors. But please not only look on the energy efficiency, because you have to look also into resources. One example is if you take pumps, you have copper in the pumps. You can increase the efficiency of the pumps by using better copper. But if you look at the lifetime costs for making better copper, it might be better to have less efficient pumps for the whole system than junking the last bits out of the copper. So we have to change from a product or process-oriented view to a lifetime view. Means that even a certain place inefficient at a certain use might be better if the whole lifetime view of a product is better, or of the use of a product, remanufacturing, reuse, and other things. Okay.
Follow up.
One other thing is using primary materials. Again, if you go and what we are discussing in Europe at the moment, okay, with the new Juncker Commission, it will stall or will go back. We had a plan for increasing the resource productivity until 2020 in Europe. It will be stopped now for whatever reason. It was a good plan. It was also a good policy. If you increase the lifetime of products, for example, by 10%, then you need 10% less primary energy for the same products. So that's the way you can do it. Not only making product more efficient or the process more efficient, also increasing lifetime of products, making them repairable, using parts, and all these things.
For the few people that joined us after we started, we're having a very informal discussion. There's still a couple of spots at the table, maybe four. So feel free to join us at the table if you'd like, and anybody who has a question can ask a question.
A question?
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, Doctor, thanks for visiting us again. Can you give us a status update on the situation regarding large industries that are internationally competitive or excluded from the cost?
Prices, electricity prices.
Yeah, can you update us on the status of that and where? I think last time we were in Germany, there was an EU court case that preserved the exemption until 2017, I believe. Or can you just provide an update on that situation?
There was a negotiation process between the German government and the EU Commission, and as an outcome of this negotiation process, the feed-in tariff in a changed way is accepted, and this negotiation process about prices is also taken back. So, but that is only part, that's the policy part. The question is, how much does the Energiewende harm the industry? That's the interesting question behind that. And, wait, I have something of that. Wait. Lisa, is the power prices for electricity intensive companies in Germany? You have two. One is inflation corrected, and the other one is the crude price. This is 2006, and this is 2013, and we know from newer data that it's at the moment even lower. So all these stories that energy-intensive industry is harmed by the Energiewende cannot be, because the price due to the legislatory situation has changed.
So in terms of the, Madam Chair, in terms of the exclusion, is that something that's being looked at as being revisited so that those businesses would share in the costs?
Yes, or? Some business has been thrown out, but that was okay. Look, if a golf installation, golf hotel, claims itself to be a company which is in an international competition and gets money back, being an energy-intensive company, that's a little bit ridiculous. Okay, so it was a good process because it cleared up. Our aluminium industry, steel industry, and others don't have problems. That is clear. They are in competition. But some regional companies have to go back to another way of paying. Clearly, one thing, if we talk about the Energiewende, one thing which we made wrong was not the feed-in tariff, but what we made wrong is the distribution of the cost of the whole thing. If you look at the problem of, I showed you, the decreasing prices of electricity. What we made in Germany is that the feed-in tariff is calculated as a difference between the cheapest electricity on the market and a certain price. So what we have not foreseen is that the introduction of renewables lowers down the prices. We have expected the other way, so that the feed-in tariff got more and more expensive without installing anything, because the mechanism in the law was wrong. That's something which we would do different. The second thing is, it was already in the discussion 10 years ago, the photovoltaic. And to be honest, the development, the technological development of photovoltaic was paid by Germany. That could have been done also differently. In the same way we paid for the development of nuclear energy 30, 40 years ago, we could have made a special financing for the photovoltaic at a certain time. And then the problem, the discussion, would not have popped up at a certain place. And the third thing, which I think today, we should have had a maximum amount of renewables which are installed for a certain feed-in tariff. So that, and the fourth thing is, behave your markets or save your markets. You were better and faster. United States put taxes on import of photovoltaic from China. Germany not. And everything which was produced on the market in China went into Germany and not only there. And that was an error. That was a real error. So suddenly there was so much photovoltaic on the market that we haven't foreseen it. But we haven't foreseen that China decides to make it a strategic point to throw out all other photovoltaic companies. So we were in the midst of a geostrategic discussion.
discussion. And that thing, you have to explain the things better, and you have to distribute the costs better, and to be a little bit aware that it's not a future, a renewable energy future is not an expensive electricity future. We, as I was part of the first feed-in tariff group in the year 2000, it was not scientifically proven. We saw that going into the future, everything is more expensive. And so the law was made as everything goes, it's more expensive. So these are the three things we should do differently.
So, Madam Chair and Doctor, so is there an effort to have those large power users share in the costs of it, or?
No, because earlier or later they will do that. But you have to give them time, more time than, for example, a typical German household where it is where only the efficiency, buying more efficient refrigerators compensates the energy price increase. You have different investment times. You don't build a steel plant every 2 years or 7 years. But you buy a refrigerator 7 to 10 years, so you can have different times of adjusting prices. At the end of the story, in 2050, everyone has to pay the price. That's clear. But that's what we are discussing at the moment, how to get there, how to make the transformation in a way that we don't kill the export and the market or Germany's economy or whatever you say. Because it's wrong. It's not the idea of killing our wealth, is the idea how to transform it. And to be honest, there are people who will have to adapt. There is no change without change. That means that others, some people, some companies who at the moment are chemical industry, for example, they will have to be more efficient. They will have to change their market models, etc. But if you talk with the planners of them, they know that. If you talk with the representatives, the lobby unions of them, then they are, you are killing German chemical industry. It was very funny. We had a workshop about energy efficiency and resource efficiency in chemical industry, which we organized as an agency. Everything, BASF, everywhere were there, discussing, oh, it's a good, we have to do that. And 1 week later, the press release of the foundation of German's chemical industry said, UPA is trying to bring in planning industry and to destroy German industry and all that. There are different levels of view. And in the press, mostly you see the representatives of industry saying that we kill them. But in the working groups or wherever else, you see the guys and the girls who are open to change because they know they have to do that. It's their job. If there's a 30-year-old chemist, he's talking about his job in 30 years if he doesn't adapt to BASF. And that's we try to do that.
So, Dr. Lehman, what I hear you saying is the policy decision to carve out energy-intensive or internationally competitive industries was not the problem. The problem was people claiming that they're energy-intensive or subject to international competition that didn't belong.
For strategic reasons, to get a better position with lawsuits or going to Brussels or something else. So, and it is hard to see this if you are not inside of the whole discussion. Okay.
Other questions? Go ahead.
Thanks. I was wondering at what level these changes are happening at. So how much is happening at the household level with things like more efficient appliances or efficiency in your house? How much is happening at the community level? And then how much at the regional versus whole country? And I'm just thinking about for each of those levels of, parts of society, there are different issues with financing and coming up with capital.
Okay, that's 1 hour of answer. I try to, let's take efficiency first. On an efficiency we have in Germany and we have in Europe, a European Directive for Energy Efficiency and Resource Productivity, which is a law. Directive is a law. That means that the countries and all others have to fulfill this European law, which they together negotiated. And in this European Directive for Energy Efficiency, there are goals for energy efficiency and resource efficiency. And the companies and others have to follow that because it's
all laws and all rules will follow this energy directive. One consequence of this is that we cannot use old-fashioned lamps. Because if you take the energy efficiency law, then this old-fashioned lamp is not more coping with the energy rules. There is enough time to adapt so that industry has time to adapt, but the reason is energy efficiency has to be the same for refrigerators, cars with a certain amount of NOx or other are not allowed more on the street. You have certain time to adapt it. The same for industry, etc. That is, the idea is that you make some directives, you give 5 to 10 years time for the industry to deal with the problem, and then they have to live with the situation where the energy efficiency is a certain level, etc. It makes new industry. Light-emitting diodes we would not have had on the market if we would not have thrown out the light bulbs. Even the old-fashioned, now the energy-efficient light bulbs are the next one who are getting problem due to the quicksilver problem in it. So it's and this is step by step the efficiency. Buildings is a real problem because it's a day alone. The main problem is that we have to retrofit and send it and make a retrofitting of the buildings in Europe and in Germany. And we don't have any idea how to do it and how to distribute the costs fairly. At the moment, the market is making something. A lot of cities are getting very expensive because investors are entering, buying old buildings, putting retrofitting on top of that, and renting the whole for triple time the rent they got before that. In Berlin, for example, the prices for in the city increased from average 5 to 6 euro per square meter without heating, and that 10 years ago, it's going now to 10, 15. Munich is unpayable. Hamburg the same. It's paying up also in other parts of Europe. So it's not an easy situation because it's not only policy driven, it's also market driven. There are investors, there are people who try to get money out, Russian money coming into Europe. It's and trying to get money. If today I buy a house and I manage the house properly, I get 4% back for everything what I put into the house. If you go to a bank in Europe, you get nothing. So there's a lot of money coming into the building sector besides that what the state is trying. It is ridiculous, but at the moment, the money you get for making retrofitting, which was decided 2 years ago, is more expensive than that what you get from the bank. So no one is using federal building models or programs more because the market on the banks is lower. So I don't have an answer on that. We have to do it. We are working on that. I don't have a real answer like in electricity. Do that and that, and then you get that. It's not easy. The last question you said was, what is happening in households? Households, an average household in Germany pays 5 euro per month for the Energiewende. If you compare it with 200, 300 euros they can spare by buying more energy efficient installation in the next time, it balances. So that was also why the labor union and the association for energy buyers said, okay, we accept it, and that's okay, because in principle it only hits the households who don't go for energy efficient appliances in future. There's only one problem, is for the people who are getting money from state, which are unemployed and that. And this can be solved by giving them the amount more they ask, but they get it anyway because the energy bill is paid by the state. So it was always a myth that the electricity in Germany is cut off because the poor people cannot pay it. It's because the bill of the people who are unemployed is paid by the state. So it's, but there's a lot of voodoo in it and a lot of discussion in it because it's the future market. If how Germany goes the next 10 years decides what happens in France, in Denmark, in the Netherlands. And it is a battle between regional utilities, corporations, small companies on the one side, and big utilities on the other side, and on the third side, a lot of very decentralized small installations. So I don't know how the future market will look like, but at the moment we are in the transformation, making a new market. And then it's clear, will IBM survive, or will Apple survive, or will, I don't know, survive, you know? It's the same situation we had in the computer history, technological-driven change of the system. And we are going to a more grid-oriented, internet-oriented, fast electrical system. And who is the rich man of the future? IBM or Apple or Google? You know, and that's the question which is negotiated at the moment with existing actors. Apple was easy because the market was open. Google was easy. There was no one competing. At the moment, we tried to do that with existing actors and stakeholders who have a lot of money.
My money's on Google.
I don't have the money, unfortunately.
What little I have. Any other questions?
Can I just tag up?
Yeah, Senator Sinjum.
Dr. Lehman, is affordable housing something that's talked about in Germany? And let me just prep, if I go home and I sit down in my folks' chamber or whatever, number one issue, like affordable housing, you know? And so if I were to go home and say, well, we have to have affordable housing, then we're going to impose all, pretty high electrical rates on you. We're going to force you to retrofit all your appliances to low energy and so on. That just like falls in the face of this affordable housing issue that we have. And so is affordable housing an issue in Germany also? And you just plow through that with respect to all these energy issues?
No.
Affordable housing.
Yeah. No, you can have both.
Okay.
But then you have to ask who gains what money with housing. And, if I go and I buy a house in Munich today and someone rents it for 20 euro per square meter without heating, without electricity, without anything, then it is someone, an investor, tries to get as much of possible money out of it in a very short time. Or you go to affordable housing models where you have house systems or private house systems where over a certain lifetime, from 20, 30 years, you have a house where you can afford water costs, energy costs, your maintenance and all these things. It is an issue in Germany and there are solutions for that. But it's different markets fighting there. One is investors who want to get very fast, very much money out of housing. The others are cooperatives or the people who want to find a solution for themselves. In all the Energiewende discussion, always was the idea that affordable house means that the idea was that at the end of retrofitting and all, the so-called heated total cost of the house are not higher than today. If I take a house today, let's say a bad installation, an old house in Germany, then you have per square meter something about 180 kilowatt hours per year heating cost, electricity on top, etc. Family, a typical household, four persons household has about 5,000, 6,000 kilowatt hours per year. So they have to pay that without cars. If I retrofit the building and I bring down the energy cost by 90%, which is today possible, if I bring down the electricity cost by 50%, then I can afford the difference for making the retrofitting. And that's a different view of retrofitting a house or a system or something like that. You calculate, so that's what I pay, that amount of euros. And what can I do at what time, lifetime of the building? Normally, if someone sells a building, it's a certain situation where you can make some retrofitting. If parts of the system, like the heating system, get old or have to be changed because laws have changed, then you make also try to make windows and all these other things. So it's always a strategic view of the building structure you are, and we are looking very in detail at that because it's building is something which is regional, which is for each street different, and where you have to answer on the architectural structure. And at the end of the Energiewende, we don't want to lose our also our old buildings. Let's take, why don't you make a group of buildings? One of these buildings, like this Capitol, you wouldn't want to change the outside view of the building because you like it as a monument. And or we take Schumann houses in Hamburg. We like them, but they are energetically crazy for today's point of view. But if you find a solution with other houses, you put them together and they as a group, someone has more energy, another less energy, as a group can react on these, then it is even cheaper. So that Stadtteil, solutions for parts of a city, and that is possible. And then you have all of the building, housing.
Well, I think we should wrap up the formal the formal part of the informal meeting. And people will just stay in the room and chat as they have time. I know Dr. Lehman has probably plans the rest of the day, and our governor is getting inaugurated in 23 minutes for those who are trying to catch that at the Landmark Center. But this is my last meeting chairing, and hopefully the new incoming speaker will see fit to put me back on the Legislative Energy Commission. But thank you very much for being here today, Dr. Lehman. Really appreciate it, and we are adjourned.
Thank you for coming.